Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge. And welcome, Matt.
Hi, Joy. Good to be here.
And David.
Hello, Joy. Hello, Matt. Welcome.
Hi, David.
Now, there's only two Revs tonight, so we've co-opted David again.
Can we ordain him and call him Rev?
We're going to pretend.
Okay, that's good.
We'll give him a, you know, we'll get a margarine container and make a collar for him.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Cutting into the neck.
So, thank you to Michelle from Stand Up Straight. And what do the Pope, does the Pope, Brian Houston and Jehovah's Witnesses have in common?
Good question.
Very good question.
I don't know.
Probably nothing.
But we're going to talk about all of them tonight. So, well, that's what they have in common.
We're going to talk about them.
Yeah. They're going to be on Spirit Lounge tonight. We like this Pope, don't we?
We do. Much better than the last one. Am I allowed to say that?
I think so. And I think he's much better than most of the previous popes, isn't he?
Well, he is. I will say for the last Pope, though, he recognised that he wasn't able to do the job anymore and resigned. I'll give him that.
No, I reckon there's some scuttlebug behind it.
Okay. Perhaps. But this new Pope is very good. I like his heart for the poor and the marginalised, the outcasts right around the world.
And he tried to actually do something about some of the outcasts and marginalised people.
Tell me more.
He got together with his bishops. You should have seen the finery they were wearing, really. I mean, they all got dressed up. They did. They got their lovely robes on and their hats and off they ponced. I don't know if you can say that, kid. Yeah. Oh.
Well,
I think sure.
It's been said. We can't unsay it.
Yeah, we can't unsay it. We can't edit it out now. We can edit it out of the podcast, Joy. What an image.
So he put together a report that he got a committee to do and looking at the teaching on the sacrament of marriage and talking about, you know, how can we include gay people, mm-hmm. you know, who have gifts and qualities to offer, and how can we also look after people who are divorced, who at the moment, unless they get their marriage annulled, are not entitled to take communion. Is that right?
It's something like that. Of course, it depends on the local congregation. There are some priests or fathers that will strictly adhere to that, but then there are others that will just ignore it and do their thing.
But I was talking to a Catholic at work the other day, and she was saying that she tried to get her marriage annulled, and the personal questions they asked about the sex life, she ended up walking out and saying, no, I can't do it. She said it was just so invasive and made her so uncomfortable. Now, obviously, that was that particular priest, but that doesn't seem quite right, doesn't it?
No, you know? No. There's enough trauma associated with a divorce anyway.
Yeah.
To then have to go through that as well.
It doesn't sound right to me.
Well, I wouldn't think so. Yeah. So he came up with this report. Now, it was by this committee, and it did, what did they say? Now, so without abandoning church teaching on the sacrament of marriage, pastors should recognise that there are positive aspects of civil unions and cohabitation.
That's good. So a recognition that relationships and family in our time, in our culture, well, in our world, really, come in lots of different shapes and sizes.
Yeah. So they read this report to the 200 bishop priests and lay people that gathered at the synod. The lay people were the ones that didn't have robes, gorgeous robes. And then those groups of bishops got together to go through the document. And basically it failed to get through.
Oh, by much, do we know?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
It doesn't say. But what they're saying is that the Pope will struggle to get any reform through. There's another meeting next October, and they're saying, well, they're not actually going to get any reform through. Most of these people were actually appointed by Pope Benedict.
Okay, and that's the previous pope.
Yeah, who authored the Intrinsic Moral Evil text on homosexuals.
Ah.
So you can see what his view on it was.
That doesn't sound very friendly.
It also suggests something about his selection of bishops.
Mm.
But a lot of the, I guess, the conflict and the stand up against this comes from the people from Africa.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Which is where their laws are so much more strict.
Well, where we've still got the death sentence in at least three countries over there.
And it's the way it is there because of the missionaries that were sent there in the first place to convert them to a better faith, a better way of life.
And there, here we have, you know, millions of people dying of AIDS because they're not allowed to actually use condoms because it's against the Catholic religion. And, I mean, that's just an absolute shocker.
It is. So, look, I still admire the Pope, even though this has gone down and not gone through. I like where his heart is and a recognition that the world that we live in now is not the world of the 1400s, the 1500s, the 1600s, but is the world of 2014, and that we do have a diversity of people, of relationships, of families, of parenting styles, all those sorts of things. And for the Catholic Church, and really for any church, to stay relevant, there needs to be a connection made with people of all flavour of family. You know, a child being raised in a same-sex parented family is just the same as a child that's raised in a heterosexual family. Why favour one over the other? But why not, you know, pour the love and the compassion and the nurture into all children?
But I read an interesting article written by an Italian reporter, and a part of that, and I quote, "The bishops were fearful that in reaching out so generously to divorced and remarried, to gay couples, cohabiting heterosexual couples, and those in civil unions, the message about the importance and beauty of marriage would be lost. They wanted to affirm more fully those married couples who struggle on, sometimes in the face of enormous difficulties." So they're basically turning down all these other people because of that one thing. I don't quite get how maybe some of these couples that struggle on shouldn't be married. But
I think that's the answer. If they're struggling because there's some serious problems there, then no, they shouldn't. But if they're being held together purely because they think that's the right thing to do, there's a problem there.
Mm.
And I think what the Pope is doing is quite subtle, quite gentle, in that he's not saying you must, you know, endorse gay marriage.
Mm.
Or he's saying, well, hey, these people have got gifts that they can bring into our community. Let's welcome them and embrace them. But he's not saying you must, well, you know, we're going to change our view on marriage and we're going to marry them and we're going to do this. I think what he's saying is, you know, they deserve to have the sacraments alongside anyone else.
That's right, and it's a recognition of our common humanity, really.
But if you look at, I mean, what I don't get, if we look at the life of Jesus, to me, Jesus would have done that.
Mm.
And
absolutely.
Jesus did that to a lot of the outcast people of his day.
And can still do that and still hold the importance of marriage as well. I can't see how this open embrace belittles or waters down marriage in the slightest.
It doesn't. No. It doesn't.
No.
No, I don't sort of get this whole thing. But yes, we still love you, Pope.
Yeah.
Pope Francis.
That's right.
did he do these types of things before he became Pope?
He was always, I believe, a very humble person who lived among the poor and who worked with the poor.
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah.
We should get him on the show and ask him.
I'm sure he'd love to.
Yeah, call in.
That's right. Probably next week. To
guess
next.
Who you probably have to go through.
Oh, yeah.
George.
Hi, George. Yeah, okay. And scrap that idea.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
My apologies for last month too, by the way.
That's all right. You've not been well.
I was very sick. I had no voice and was close to death from man flu.
Well, we don't want you in the studio when you've got no voice. What,
not much
what
good
help
to anybody
is that
then,
to
am
anyone?
I?
We're going to talk about Brian Houston. For those who don't...
Sorry, that was bad, wasn't it?
For those who don't know, Brian Houston is the founder... Well, no, his father was the founder of an AOG church that then became Hillsong, from what I understand. Brian Houston is the senior... I think they call it senior pastor or whatever it is. Now, great excitement on Facebook on the 17th of October... Being a cynical person, I didn't fall for it, though. That his church, he was in New York at the time. New York, I think, is one of the states that is in the process of legalizing same-sex marriage. And he said, declared in an interview, and this was reported in the New York Times, that his church is in ongoing conversation about same-sex marriage, saying that it is an appropriate to consider the words of the Bible alongside the changing culture and the experience of people in pews. Sounds great, doesn't it?
That's so far. Sounds a fantastic thing to say.
So, the world we live in, whether we like it or not, is changing around and about us, he said. The world's changing and we want to stay relevant as a church, so that's a vexing thing. Mr. Houston, as he's done in sermons, ruefully noted the experience of gay children growing up in Christian churches, saying that some feel rejected by their youth pastors or even their parents, and that as a result, some young people literally are depressed, maybe even suicidal. Well, hey, you know, get with it. It's not just children either.
That's right.
He said he lived by what the Bible said, and he agrees with traditional Christian teaching on sexuality, but he did not think it would be constructive to... What I can't even say that word, delineate a public position on same-sex marriage. It's very easy to reduce what you think about homosexuality to just a public statement, and that would keep a lot of people happy. But we feel at this point that it is an ongoing conversation. Doesn't that sound good?
It does. Well, it does sound good. Kind of like
a lot of people thought so.
Yeah, the summary sort of statement that I saw floating around was to the effect of Hillsong is not going to say anything really about homosexuality or the place of gay and lesbian people in the church because Jesus didn't say anything about it. And so we'll just stay silent. And I got to say, it just infuriated me.
Well, I'm not surprised because, you know, on the 20th of October, well, we've got 3 days later, he copped a barrage of criticism. So what does he do? He backpedals.
That's right.
Very quickly, he's in reverse. but he didn't talk to the media again. He releases a statement on their website, which the media picks up on, of course. And he starts, I encourage people not to assume a media headline accurately represents what I said. Well, that's fair enough.
Fair statement.
Nowhere in my answer did I diminish biblical truth or suggest that I or Hillsong Church supported gay marriage. He didn't say that, but he said he was actually going to have a conversation about it.
Ongoing conversation.
Yeah. My personal view on the subject of homosexuality would line up with most traditionally held Christian views. I believe the writings of Paul are clear on the subject. So now we get into the truth of what he actually believes. So if that's what he believes, why bother to even come out with anything else?
Yeah, there are a whole lot of things that went through my mind. The first one about, you know, not saying anything because Jesus didn't. Well, Jesus didn't say a whole lot about a lot of things that are relevant in our time. But that doesn't mean that we don't speak about them or we don't fight for them or advocate or whatever. We take the intent and the meaning behind the teaching of Jesus from his time in his culture and translate that to our time and our culture. And, you know, certainly with young people in schools, and it's changing now, but say even 5 or 10 years ago, a young gay boy in school, for instance, you know, it was hard work and there were lots of mental health issues and all sorts of things. And so in terms of being the outcast or the marginalised or the person on the fringe, our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters were very much that. And so they're the sorts of people that Jesus spoke up for and acted for, then we as the church do the same. And so to actually remain silent, I don't think lines up with the teaching of Jesus.
And what does that say to the gay and lesbian people in the congregation there?
That's right, that you're not important enough for me to stand up for you.
I mean, they made a big song and dance about there's a gay couple who in America, the New York campus, who were apparently on some reality TV show, who sing in their choir.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a big song and dance about, well, we accept gay people because these two are allowed to sing in their choir.
There you go. The whole reversal thing reminded me of World Vision in America, same sort of thing, that made an announcement that gay and lesbian people could become employees, and those that were already employed after that announcement came out, and there was a good celebration there. But of course, the fundamental conservative arm of the Christian church in America then kicked up a big stink, withdrew their funding, and World Vision America, not World Vision Australia, World Vision America, were then forced to reverse their position. And it caused a world of heartache, particularly for those gay and lesbian employees who had come out in that time in their workplace. And now with the decision reversed that World Vision America will not employ gay and lesbian people, da-da-da, where are they left? And so the same sort of thing was going through my veins, through my blood, that fury that, hang on a second, cannot you see what these words do, what these attitudes do to real people that are already on the fringe, already on the margin and are hurting? These are the people that we walk alongside and we put our arms around and we love and we protect and we stand for.
You know, you often hear people talking, you know, on Facebook and other places about the shift in these Pentecostal churches. But if you've got the leader maintaining this view on homosexuality, how can they say that they're shifting? If you've got the person at the top making stupid statements, I'm sorry, but it is just, it's horrific. You know, if you're going to come out and make a statement, at least believe what you're saying before you come out and make it.
That's right.
Within 3 days, he has made a statement and then retracted it.
Yeah.
And
that's only because, well, they're saying it's because of the negative press he got amongst the conservative Christians.
Does he not have the ability to stand up for what he says?
But no. He doesn't believe what he said in the first place, so why say it? He says he holds on to the traditional view of a conservative Christian. Now, okay, if that's your view, then say that. And don't give people encouragement or hope when there is no hope.
That's something else, yeah. At the same time, though, I wonder if there's a tension going on for him and the leadership of the church, the tension being that we can see where the advocates for the LGBTI community are coming from, and we recognise the heart there, and we recognise that this is where the ministry of Jesus would be. But, and, you know, I kind of hesitate to say this a little bit, but we also recognise where our money comes from. And I think this was the issue for World Vision in America as well. If we actually do this, a whole lot of people are going to withdraw their funding, and a whole lot of things that we're already doing that are helping other marginalised groups are going to stop because of that. And so there's this tension to weigh up those two things.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they need to wrestle with it as a leadership before they actually come out and say it.
Make a statement, yeah.
Because I just think the fact that they do this and give people some hope and then 3 days later they pull the rug out from under them. It's really not good pastoral care for anyone.
It's not. But then, you know, for me personally, I can't believe why you wouldn't stand up for the gay and lesbian community in the first place. What is there to think about?
Well, true. And we're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. We had an invasion in Melbourne. You wouldn't know about this, Matt, because you live out in the suburbs and don't venture in here very often.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they're in.
Luckily, they can't get into my apartment building like that. Yes, I noticed last Wednesday these people walking down the street, and they had purple lanyard thingies on with their name, and I thought, there's a conference on, which often there is a mill. But I was looking at them thinking, they've got to be religious. They're far too happy. And I didn't want to go too close and peer at their, you know, name badges, because I thought, yeah, you know, you just never know. Anyway, there became more and more of them, and more and more. And in the end, there were 70,000 of them.
That's a lot of people. Whoa. They make a lot of noise.
Well, they were at Etihad Stadium, so they should make a lot of noise. So we had a Jehovah Witness conference. They had this conference called Keep Seeking First God's
Kingdom. Oh, there they are.
Kingdom.
There's Jehovah's again.
Oh, they're here. I love their spokesperson who said, no one needs to be frightened. We're all friendly and we love to chat to people. And I noticed as they chatted to people, they handed out brochures.
those ones that were printed in 1930 and they still use the same ones.
Well, you can't throw them away. That'd be wasting.
That's right.
There was one that was floating around the city that was saying, are Catholics Christians?
Oh.
Which I thought was not terribly nice. Now, apparently worldwide there's 20 million Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's a lot of
65,000 in Australia. So they're all there, plus a few more.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently 8 million of them undertake door-knocking activities.
It's a lot of door-knocking.
Yes, a lot of doors.
So it started me thinking. And I was so excited. On Sunday I saw a grumpy one. And I wanted to go and hug them. Because all the rest were so friendly and nice. And you got on the tram and they made their kids stand up to give you a seat. And they were all so lovely. And I thought, oh, I can't stand it. I'm not used to this in Melbourne. You know, we can't have everyone being really nice. It just, you know, it spoils the city for the rest of us. And I was out Sunday morning and I stopped to get a coffee. And there was a young couple. And she was as grumpy as heck. And I thought, thank goodness for that.
Normal after all.
But what I noticed also was that the men all wear suits and ties and white shirts. None of the women wear trousers.
So they just walk around in their undies?
They wear dresses and skirts.
Okay.
Who brought you?
Yes. Sorry.
So yeah, they obviously are not allowed to wear trousers. And they were all carrying little bags of food, so they obviously don't like the pies and chips and sauce that you get at Etihad Stadium. I mean, I don't know if they have a special diet. I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that. No.
No. So I did some research, and being the good person I am, I passed it on to my co-hosts here because they didn't nod into doing research.
No, we're not that efficient, Joyce.
No.
I read it.
So I learned quite a lot about them. I learned that they must avoid independent thinking.
Oh, see, there you go. I wouldn't make a good Jehovah's Witness. Just on that alone.
And that if they have any doubts or disagree, you're actually not allowed to talk about it. So how do you get rid of doubts or if you're not allowed to talk about it?
I don't know. When I was a minister, one of the ways that I would sort of judge or measure a person's faith maturing was by the sorts of questions that they asked.
Well, you wouldn't make a good Jehovah's Witness then.
No.
They also believe that only 144,000 people go to heaven.
That's only double the number of people that Eddie had.
Yeah, but that's over history, including all the people that died. So I'm not sure how you become part of the 144,000.
That could be a problem. They might already all be dead and in heaven.
Maybe you have to pay more money. I don't know.
No. Wear a nicer dress if
that's
you're a lady.
True. You're not allowed. Yeah. Don't show any cleavage. Not allowed. Goodness me. Don't get grumpy. That grumpy one won't be in the 144,000. They are allowed to drink alcohol, but only in moderation. They're not allowed to attend other churches at all.
That seems a bit odd.
Not even for like a funeral or a wedding or something.
Apparently
like that?
Apparently not. Well, I mean, one of the things that most people know about them is they don't have blood transfusions.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a common thing.
And look, that that one gets me a little bit too. Working in the health industry, you know, see some, certainly children that, you know, could have life-saving blood transfusions, and their parents that belong to an organisation like Jehovah's Witnesses, and there are some others that think the same, say no because of their religious beliefs, and that child gets very sick, sometimes dies.
What intrigued me about your research there, Joy, was that they're saying that they don't take blood transfusions because the Bible forbids eating blood. I wouldn't have thought a transfusion is the same thing as eating.
Well, they claim it is. I don't quite get that. I mean, I understand if they don't eat blood sausage, because I wouldn't eat it either. But I mean, that's just revolting. But yeah, I don't get it. Now, if you are a Jehovah Witness, you're only allowed to date other Jehovah Witnesses.
It's a bit limiting.
I know.
It is, particularly if you're only allowed to do one of the 144,000.
But you're not allowed a casual date. Oh. If you're dating, you're dating because you're going to marry.
Okay.
So you'd have to make sure. I don't know if they match them up or whether they just decide. I love this, disfellowshipped.
Disfellowshipped.
That's a good word.
Yeah, it's someone who's been excommunicated. You've been disfellowshipped.
I've been disfellowshipped
before. I've been disfellowshipped before too. So I quite like that word. And that happens if someone breaks the rules, disagrees. Or tests the organisation's authority beyond reasonable limits. Well, if you're not allowed to disagree, what's a reasonable limit?
Yeah, there is. Just don't do it.
If you have a blood transfusion, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to another church, join another religion, you're out.
Yep.
And then you get shunned.
Okay, so not even spoken to after that.
No.
Okay.
I didn't realise, though, that they will not salute the flag or sing the national anthem or pledge allegiance.
Ah, because?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
It says they're politically neutral.
Do we know anything about, you know, like the things that we're reading out are part of their, I guess, core beliefs, part of their doctrines and things like that? And really, you could choose any part of the church and read them out. That seemed just as strange some of the time. Do we know anything about some of the work that the Jehovah's Witnesses do in the community?
Door knocking.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I don't. Didn't seem to go into that.
Okay.
But quickly on, well, we'll come back and we'll talk about that later, but Satan, I like this. Satan the devil is thought to be the ruler of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan's organisations refer to all religions and people who are not members in good standing with them.
Oh, okay.
So what does this say about us?
We have a studio full of Satans.
We're That's a right. Satan's organisation.
Oh, well. I've had worse things said about me.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and you're with Matt, David and Joy. And that was the gorgeous Mendisa with The Truth About Me. I've got such good taste in music, really, haven't
it's
I?
It's been good tonight. Well done.
Very nice music, Joy.
I actually even look at the lyrics to make sure that, you know, they're quite reasonable. Not saying anything absolutely horrific.
Anything that you don't agree
anything
with.
Anything that theologically condemns us.
Yeah.
We have been talking about the Jehovah's Witness who invaded Melbourne, and there's some of them still around, mm-hmm. with still with their name tags on. I feel like saying, hey, it's over, guys. Take them off. But one thing they say about homosexuality, of course, is that it's just not on.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you are homosexual, you must remain celibate. Bisexuals must not engage in same-sex behaviour. Any opposite-sex behaviour must be restricted to one man and one woman who are married to each other, so no mm-hmm. sex outside of marriage. So they wouldn't, of course, recognise marriage equality even if it happened. They expect, and this is so amazingly unreasonable, a gay or lesbian to suppress or distract themselves. I don't know how they mean they're going to distract themselves from their desires, longing, feelings of attraction, love, sexual fantasies, etc.
So even just that casual feeling for someone else needs to be suppressed.
They have to refrain from both sexual activity and sexual thoughts.
Okay.
So, there's going to be lots of cold showers amongst some of the people, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
It's hard, isn't it? It's again, just denying your humanity.
especially if they say no sexual thoughts. I mean,
you cannot control your mind in that degree.
Well, they're saying that you must be able to. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they say they must remain celibate. Do they think that by marrying them off, it's going to, you know, change how people are?
No, that's setting people up for a world of trouble there.
And I heard the story of a lesbian who still goes along to the Jehovah's Witness church. I imagine they call them churches. And I just think, what damage does it do to people like that?
So she still identifies as a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah. Even though she would say she doesn't actually believe everything they believe, or you can't. But, I mean, she must sit there and listen to this stuff that comes out.
So do you think it's the community that draws her, or...
Maybe it's because if she leaves, her family would shun her. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what it is. But the final sermon, apparently, on Sunday at Etihad Stadium was warning people against alcohol and pornography and all sorts of, you know, bad things.
Mm-hmm.
That they might find in Melbourne. Well, I thought, it's a bit late now. They've been here.
That you might find in Melbourne, is it? Those things are only here and nowhere else.
And they've already been wandering around the city all weekend.
Well, they've been in hotels where they might have, you know, those sorts of movies.
Yes. Minibar.
That's a bit expensive, isn't it? Anyway, today is Diwali.
What is that?
It's the Hindu Festival of Lights. It's over 5 days, but today is the big day.
Do you think you can bring them in here and fix that globe up on the ceiling?
I'm sure we could. It celebrates new beginnings, the emergence of light from darkness, and the triumph of good over evil.
Very good.
And they have big celebrations tonight, so I don't know where in Melbourne they'll be having big celebrations, but I'd like to go there.
If someone would like to tell us, they can do that by SMS to 0427JOY949. Do it straight away, though.
Yeah.
Yes, running out of time.
So Diwali actually is translated literally a row of lamps.
Is this the festival where they light lamps and sort of release them onto water, onto a lake or a river or something like that?
I don't know.
Sometimes you see.
It says traditionally families light small painted earthenware lanterns half filled with oil, leaving them outside houses overnight so that the goddess of wealth, oh gosh, I need to put lots of them outside, can find her way safely into their homes. Oh, my balcony is going to be full of lamps tonight.
We'll be all standing looking.
So, yeah, the god of, she.
Yeah.
The goddess of wealth.
Wow.
But modern celebrations incorporate bright electric lights. Oh, that's all right. I just put all the lights on.
The Christmas tree lights out.
And fireworks, and lots of them.
Oh.
And they also spring clean the home, eat sweets and exchange gifts.
Right. Yeah, I'd be in for those last two.
The last bit is all right. What sort of festival has spring cleaning the house?
Lots of festivals do, actually, don't they?
Not in our house.
They actually... part of quite a lot of festivals is that you clean and get rid of all the old.
Yes, that's true.
Yep. You have the new. And this has been Spirit Lounge for another Thursday night. Now, Matt, you want to give a shout out to someone?
I do. I just want to say hi to my very lovely and wonderful friend Anna and her partner Al. Had a rough week, so just want to say hi to them, send them some love.
Good night from Rev Joy.
And from Rev Matt.
And from David. Good night.
Find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.